When we look at the subject of grace, we are not only looking at a subject, we are looking to God himself. And we are looking to the one who is infinite and eternal, the one who is beyond our comprehension, the one who, in order to tell us about himself, condescends to us to tell him about himself. He is not on the same plane or level as us. He is way above, infinitely above. God has riches that are unsearchable. And we can meditate upon the Lord our entire lives and never fully grasp and never fully have a comprehension of our God, because he is so great, and he is so great that we will even spend eternity in his company and never fully comprehend his fullness, his infinitude, and his eternity. We are his creatures. He is the creator. We are made in time and space. He is not limited by time or space. He sees all things at all times, all at once. There is nowhere that God is not. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere. There is nowhere that you can escape from him. Our God is a great God. And when we come to speak of his grace, we are not only speaking about a subject, a matter of interest, something to keep us informed for a time, but rather we are looking to God himself, and we are studying his character, his infinite character that he has revealed to us in the gospel of his Son, Jesus Christ. And the gospel of his Son, Jesus Christ, reveals to us not only about God, but reveals about ourselves as well. That in the radiant light of God's holiness, we are sinners. We have transgressed God's law. We have broken his commands. We have sinned against him. But God has not left us in our sins. He has provided salvation from our sins in his Son, Jesus Christ. The message that we need to hear for our salvation is recorded for us in God's word. This is the place where we read of how we are saved. It is in the Bible. The Bible is the instrument that God uses to reveal truths about himself. It is in the Bible that God declares to us how we are saved from our sins. And it is in the Bible that God has declared how he is bringing his kingdom so that we may serve him and have abundant life. The message that God has for us is given to us by means of Scripture and Scripture alone. This message is not found anywhere else in the world. It is not found as you look to the hills. It is not found as you read other books. Any other book which does have this message is only because the book is telling you what it has said in Scripture. God has spoken to us in Scripture, and it is here that he has given what one theologian called his full and final published works. It is here that we find the message that we need to hear for our salvation and to lead us on into heaven. The scriptures from beginning to end tell us of the gospel. It tells us of how God created the world in the beginning. And then it goes on and tells us about how mankind sinned against God, and then God provided a savior for his people in Jesus Christ, and then how God is leading his people with his savior into heaven. And so the Bible is telling us from beginning to end about the gospel. It tells us about God's plan and how he fulfills his plan to save us from our sins. From first to last, the Bible tells us the gospel. But there are also places in Scripture where the gospel is summarized in a few words, in one or two verses. And that is how we come now to Romans chapter 5. And I would like for us to spend time looking particularly at the first two verses. Romans chapter 5 and verses 1 to 2. There are two sentences in these verses, and these verses themselves are divided into two. And as we follow through them, we discover more of the grace in which we stand as Christian people. We have been justified by faith. Justification is the subject that the apostle is concerned about here. This is indicated in the Greek text because justification is the first word in the sentence. He puts it at the beginning of the sentence to emphasize this is what the subject is that he is speaking about. Indeed, justification is the subject that the whole book has been concerned with until this moment in time. How can a person be justified before God? How can a sinner be justified before one who is in every way holy, who is spotless and who sees all things? He sees into our hearts. He sees our desires, our motivations, our thoughts. He sees our actions. He knows exactly not only what we have done, but why we have done it as well. He looks into our hearts, and God is absolutely holy. He sees that we have sinned against him. Justification is the subject. And he has spoken about our need for salvation, that we cannot save ourselves before a holy God. No one seeks God. No one understands. All have turned aside. No one does good. Not even one. Romans chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. How can we just be justified before a holy God when no one does good and no one seeks God and no one understands? How can we serve God? How can we be spared from condemnation? How can we attain eternal life? Well, the answer was given in chapter 1 and verses 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. The righteous shall not live by their own works, relying upon what they have done. No, the righteous shall live by faith. There is no other way to be righteous. It is by faith alone that we are justified by a holy God. For us, justification begins with faith and ends with faith. There is no other way to be justified. There is no work that we can contribute to our justification. It is only by faith. It is only by faith that we can be righteous in God's sight. And it is from faith and for faith. It is beginning to end faith. Our works, they cannot enter in if we want to claim righteousness before God. We must rely wholly upon his Son instead. None of our works can enter into our justification. If we tried, we would not have justification, because God is holy, and we, without his Son, are less than that. We are sinners in his sight. It is by faith that we are justified before God. Not our works, but his works. And therefore, secondly, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. To be justified means to have peace with God. It means that we have the righteousness that he demands. It is to be righteous as he is righteous. It means that we no longer live under God's curse against sin, and it means that we are no longer condemned. It means that God is with you. To have God's peace means that he is with you, not against you. It means that you are no longer at enmity with him. It means that you are freed from the burden of sin and guilt. It means that God is not angry with you, but God loves you. It means that you have been reconciled to God. The peace that is given to us from God through our Lord Jesus Christ means that we have been restored to him, that he is for you, and that all his riches are given to you. Where does this peace come from? It comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. It does not come from our own works or abilities. It comes from God through Jesus. To you, a child is given. A Saviour is born. And so, as that Saviour is Jesus Christ, we have peace with God through him. Not through any other. We do not have peace with God in any other way other than through his Son, Jesus Christ. It is through Christ alone that we have peace with God. The grace that we have is mediated by him. It is because of Christ that we can say we live in God's grace. For Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. He is our mediator. He is the one who has entered into heaven on our behalf. In Christ, the gates of heaven are thrown open to you, that you may enter in by his blood. For we are justified by his blood, and so we are saved by him from the wrath of God. But without Christ, without faith in Christ, those gates are closed. They are shut, and there is no way in to heaven. Jesus said that we must enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Jesus Christ is the door. He is the gate that leads to heaven. Enter through the gate that leads to peace with God. God spoke to his people. He saw the sinfulness of our hearts, and he came to us in his grace, and he said, "It's not your works that you shall rely on. It is my works. I will provide a Savior for you. Trust in him. Have faith in him, and I will lead you to glory." We receive peace with God from Jesus Christ. What else do we receive from him? That is the third thing that we read in these two verses. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Here we are being told that grace is prior to faith. Grace is accessed by faith. Faith is given so that we may enter into grace. And so the primary cause of salvation is not faith. The primary cause of salvation is grace. God is gracious, and he grants to you faith so that you may believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. And so if you are a Christian today, the foundation of your salvation is God's grace to you. We love because he first of all loved us. It is because of God's grace that he has granted you faith to believe in him. Faith is the work of the Spirit of Christ in your hearts. Faith is the work of God's grace in your hearts. Grace from God leads to faith so that we may believe. By faith, we enter into this grace in which we stand. And that's what we are being told here. We stand in this grace. We are now in this grace. We have entered into a new era by faith in Christ. We have entered into a new state because of God's grace. We are now a new creation. We no longer stand in our own works, but we stand in Christ's works. We stand in God's grace. We are chosen by God's grace and saved by God's grace, not by our works. For if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. Romans chapter 11, verse 6. It is by grace alone, by grace alone, that we stand before God and have Christ as our Saviour. And fourthly, there is a purpose of God's grace. It is so that we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The goal, as it is recorded here in verse 2, is to rejoice. The goal of the Christian life is to worship. And the goal has been set before us. The Lord shall fill the earth with his glory. The goal of my hope is not set upon being a better person, though I desire that. The goal of my hope is in the glory of God, to glorify him, to serve him, to love him, to speak of him, to be faithful to him, to honour him, to glorify him. It is to God that I look. It is because of his gospel that my soul finds redemption. It is in him that I find my hope. It is in his goodness that I will be satisfied. It is in his will that I will find happiness. It is for his pleasure that I shall live. It is for his sake that I shall love and work and serve him. Our hope is in the glory of God. He has abolished the stranglehold that sin and evil had upon us. Our hope is in the glory of God, for he has established his righteousness, and he has granted to us his Spirit that we would testify the truth that God has enthroned his King, that all the whole world will be brought before the King. God has enthroned his King, and he should forevermore be praised. The goal of grace is for the glory of God. It is for the glory of God alone. We have spoken of the origins, and we have spoken of the means, and we have spoken of the practical living of grace. It is by Scripture alone, by faith alone, through Christ alone, by grace alone, to God be the glory alone. Amen. Heavenly Father, we owe all that we have to you and more. We have not been saved by our works, but by your grace. Our faith is not of our own doing, it is of your doing. It is what you have worked in us so that we may live for you. And so we pray that we will honour you with our lives, with our bodies, with our voices, with our words, with our actions. And we pray that we will live as you have told us here we shall, for the glory of your name. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.